Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, March 13, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we are studying one of the most important doctrines for us as royal family, and that is our evaluation before the Lord Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. One of the great doctrines, and we will all, every member of the royal family of God, stand before the Lord Jesus Christ to be evaluated on the life you live from that moment of faith in Christ to physical death or the rapture, whichever occurs first. And therefore, you ought to be living your life in the light of eternity, because that evaluation will determine where you stand for all eternity. Either winner or loser or somewhere in between. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, let's start at verse 6 with the corrected translation. And every time you see the word we, and then you see the word confidence. Confidence is the mental attitude of the believer who has attained spiritual maturity. Confidence is the believer who has grown up in grace orientation and doctrinal orientation. Confidence is the mental attitude of the believer who has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. And as you stand before Jesus Christ, if you're a winner believer, you'll stand before him with confidence. Because you know him. You love him. You have personal love for God the Father. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. And therefore, when you stand there, you will stand before Him with confidence. If you spend your time living your life in the cosmic system, then you will stand before Jesus Christ with shame. Shame. And total regrets. Because the freedom that God gave you, you didn't take advantage of that freedom. So we have here the word confidence used several times. So when it starts out in verse 6, therefore we always have confidence. That's not the loser believer. That's not the believer living in Satan's cosmic system. That's not the believer who fails to live the spiritual life. This is the spiritually mature believer. Therefore, we, the winner believer, we always have confidence and know that while we are at home in the house of the human body, our tent, we are out of the house of the interim body, the resurrection body, away from the Lord. For we, winner believers, walk by faith, not by sight. We, winner believers, are confident and courageous, I say. And for a far better reason, we prefer to be out of the house, out of the body, the human body, and in the house, face to face with the Lord, the interim body or resurrection body. Verse 9, for this reason also we keep on having as our goal, we keep on considering it an honor, whether in the house of our human body, phase 2, or out of the house of our human body, phase 3 in our interim or resurrection body, to be pleasing to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10. Why? Why are we here to please the Lord Jesus Christ? For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, for the purpose that each one may receive his just due for the things while living in the body in accordance with those things that he has done, whether agathos, intrinsically good, or phallos, worthless. Well, that brought us to this very, very important church age, mousterion doctrine. The judgment seat of Christ is the evaluation of the royal family of God. This is for us in the church age. So we got started. We studied the first 3 points of the judgment seat of Christ, the doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. Point 1 was definition and description. And it's very important that you understand that the judgment seat of Christ will be a time of evaluation. Evaluation of every church age believer. It's not a time of condemnation. Salvation is not the issue at the judgment seat of Christ. Salvation was over, completed, the second you believed in Jesus Christ. Eternal salvation, eternal security, eternal life. The second you believed in Jesus Christ, salvation was a done deal. It's over. At the very second you believed in Christ. So salvation is not the issue at the judgment seat of Christ. That was solved and taken care of the very moment that you personally believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. One's eternal destiny will not be determined at the judgment seat of Christ, and sins will not be the issue at the judgment seat of Christ, because all of our sins were poured out on Christ and judged in Him once and for all. And therefore, under the law of double jeopardy, they will never, ever be brought up again. The judgment seat of Christ is an evaluation of the church age believer's life after salvation. From that moment of faith in Christ to physical death or the rapture, whichever occurs first. Our God has a phenomenal grace plan for your life after salvation. That grace plan includes the grace provision of the unique spiritual life of the church age, which is a supernatural way of life that can only be lived by the grace and by the power of God, by the power of the Spirit of God, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16, and by the power of the Word of God, metabolized doctrine in the heart, 2 Peter 3:18. If we utilize God's grace and God's power to live this unique spiritual life that He has for us, then our life lived in the body is said to be agathos, intrinsically good, our verse, 2 Corinthians 5:10. However, if we fail to live the spiritual life, but live our life by the energy of the flesh, the sin nature, cosmic living in Satan's cosmic system, then our life lived in the body is said to be phallos, worthless. The judgment seat of Christ, then, is an evaluation. An evaluation of the church age believer's life after salvation to determine whether he will receive crowns and rewards, greater grace blessings awarded at the judgment seat of Christ, than those greater grace blessings will glorify God forever and ever and ever throughout all eternity, or whether he will suffer the loss of these greater grace blessings. So performance, not salvation, is the issue at the judgment seat of Christ. The winner believer will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. The cosmic believer, the loser believer, will suffer temporary shame and will lose out on the greater grace blessings. And then point two, the judgment seat of Christ means there is no equality in heaven among believers. Since God is perfect, the inequality is a perfect inequality. This inequality is not discrimination. It's not unfairness, as some associate with inequality. Inequality exists in heaven because of lost opportunity under the equal privileges and equal opportunities that God has given to every church age believer. Every one of you have the same equal privilege and equal opportunity to grow up all the way to spiritual maturity, glorify God to the maximum. You all have the equal privilege and equal opportunity to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, to become a winner believer. There's none of you that are too dumb. And your human IQ doesn't mean a thing. In fact, I've talked to a few believers who are quite impressed with their human IQ. Frankly, you shouldn't even know what your human IQ is. If it's 3 or 4, don't worry about it. You all have equal privilege and equal opportunity, every one of you. You have the same opportunity to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Because it's all by God's grace. It's all by His power. It's all by the power of the Spirit of God. It's all by the power of the Word of God. So you have no excuses. Inequality exists in heaven because of lost opportunity. Under the equal privileges and equal opportunities every church age believer has in the grace plan of God. For God and His grace has provided enough spiritual freedom with equal privileges and equal opportunities so that there is no excuse. There's no excuse for any believer failing to execute God's plan. This freedom to exercise your options and make decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills and to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is your responsibility as a believer before the Lord. The greater the freedom, the greater the inequality. Freedom guarantees inequality. Having winners and losers in the eternal state does not imply that there will be any unhappiness. There won't be any unhappiness in the eternal state. There will be degrees of happiness based on the great inequalities among believers, but there won't be any unhappiness. Even the loser believers will be happy. They're happy that they're there. They're happy that they're in heaven. And they're having a ball. They might be picking cotton, but they're having a ball. They might be picking a cotton on my plantation. And they'll be having a ball. But that's all right. I'll invite them in to have a glass of great wine. Maybe it won't be cotton. It'll be a vineyard. They'll probably be working in the vineyard. That's what it is. Regardless of the historical circumstances that you live in, whether you are living where there is establishment freedom, and we are living in America where we have establishment freedom, but there are Christians that live around the world that live in tyranny. They live in tyranny. They're put in prison for being a Christian. They're executed for being a Christian. Regardless of the historical circumstances in which you live, whether it's under establishment, freedom, or tyranny, you have full spiritual freedom that God has given you, spiritual freedom, positional freedom in union with Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. Experiential freedom through the indwelling and filling of the Spirit to live the spiritual life. Whether you're living under tyranny or whether you're living in establishment freedom. It makes no difference. And you can be a believer living in under tyranny and still live under the spiritual freedom God has given you. Positional freedom in union with Christ and experiential freedom under the indwelling of the Spirit, which is the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit. So regardless of the historical circumstances in which you live, you have full spiritual freedom in your very own unique spiritual life. And we saw this in Galatians 5, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18, James 1, 25, James 2, 12 and 13. And therefore, at the judgment seat of Christ, The first issue you will face in your resurrection body is how you used your spiritual freedom that God gave to you. At the judgment seat of Christ, you will be evaluated on how you used your freedom. Because having freedom means you must take responsibility for every decision you make, as well as for all of your thoughts, your motivations, and your actions. Freedom means some will take their volition and develop a system of great spiritual priorities and stick to them, becoming organized in their minds. However, others will use their freedom to depart from spiritual priorities whenever they feel like it. But you will answer for all this use of your freedom. You will answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to me. Not to me. You will answer to the Lord Jesus Christ himself at the judgment seat of Christ. Believers who fail to live the spiritual life and wind up in cosmic living by the sin nature and Satan's cosmic system, they lack four things. First of all, they have no true biblical standards. They cannot distinguish God's plan for their life from Satan's cosmic system. Secondly, these believers have no effectiveness. Their life has neither meaning, purpose, nor definition. The cosmic believer cannot be distinguished from any unbeliever, whether it's a moral unbeliever or an immoral unbeliever. This is why God so often has to discipline, because we have to be brought to the end of our arrogance before we realize what is truly important in life. Third, they have bad timing. They are not in sync with God's plan, will, and purpose for their lives. And therefore, the believer makes bad decisions from a position of weakness, from arrogance, and from personal ambition. Fourth, they have no spiritual life, no spiritual momentum, no virtue love, no divine good production, no glorification of God. No spiritual life means no crowns, no rewards, no decorations at the judgment seat of Christ. While the believer cannot lose his salvation, that's a done deal at the second after you believe in Christ. As a loser believer living in the cosmic system, the privileges, the rewards, the decorations that are given to winner believers will never be his throughout all eternity. And then point three, we studied the time of the judgment seat of Christ. First, the rapture must take place, terminating the dispensation of the church age and providing every church age believer with a resurrection body. And when we stand before Jesus Christ, we will stand before him in our resurrection body. However, the judgment seat of Christ does not immediately follow the rapture. The first thing that happens after the rapture is an unprecedented worship of Christ, described in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, which says, "Therefore also God the Father has exalted him, God the Son, to the maximum. In fact, he has given him a royal title, which is superior to every royal title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that in the presence of the person of Christ, Every knee in heaven shall bow. Every knee in heaven shall bow. Both the ones on the earth, believers alive at the rapture, and the ones under the earth, dead believers at the rapture. And every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We call this unprecedented worship of Christ the big genuflex in the sky. So the rapture will be immediately followed by the great genuflex in the sky. Then we have the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ takes place in heaven while the tribulation takes place, 7-year tribulation period takes place on planet Earth. Then we return with Jesus Christ at the second advent, his second advent, to administer the baptism of fire, the destruction of all unbelievers from earth, and the establishment of his millennial kingdom as he rescues and delivers those who have believed in Jesus Christ. And there will be, well, that at the end of, in the second half of that tribulation, through the witnesses, the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, the 144,000 great super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, the grace gospel will be proclaimed and the whole world will know the grace gospel. And that's when huge number of Jews will realize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And they will believe in Christ. Many of them will be martyred for their faith in Christ. But Jesus Christ, when he comes back at the second advent, will rescue those who are still alive. And those Jewish believers and those Gentile believers will be rescued and delivered and enter into the millennial kingdom. The millennial kingdom begins with believers only. Believers only. And that's why this class dovetails with what we're studying in Joel now, Joel 2:28-32, where we have the description of the pouring out, God the Father pouring out the Spirit of God on all mankind. He can pour it out on all mankind because there's only believers that start out the millennium. All mankind. The Spirit of God is poured out on all mankind. There is great, great spirituality. There is great ecstatics, and there can be great ecstatics because the author of religion, Satan, is in prison. Satan's in prison for 1,000 years. That's Revelation 21-4. And so since there's no religion, now there can be great spirituality, great ecstatics, and it will be on all mankind. It will be on men, on women, on old men, on young men, on servants, everyone, every single one. And that's where our Tuesday night class dovetails with the Wednesday night class. Now, that brings us to point four. Point four, the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ. Again, this is from our verse, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. One, this is the evaluation of the believer's performance in the plan of God during his time on earth. This is the evaluation of the believer's performance and the plan of God during his time on earth. Two, if the believer lives his life in the cosmic system, it is phallos, worthless, evil. He has failed to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. He has failed to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has failed to attain spiritual maturity. He has failed to have virtue love brought to completion in his heart. Three, if the believer lives the spiritual life and advances to spiritual maturity, it is agathos, intrinsically good. If the believer lives the spiritual life and advances to spiritual maturity, it is agathos, intrinsically good. The winner believer will receive crowns and rewards above and beyond the resurrection body. However, the loser believer is the one who loses out on these decorations and rewards. So point four. Make sure you get this. The issue is this, that your life for all eternity is now in the making. The issue is that your life for all eternity is now in the making. Your day-to-day attitude toward God, toward the Word of God, will determine completely what you will receive at the judgment seat of Christ. It takes only one decision for eternal salvation, eternal life, faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works. One decision in a moment of time. That's it. However, it takes many, many good decisions to receive the great decorations and honors and rewards that Jesus Christ will give at the judgment seat of Christ. Five, the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ is the evaluation of each believer's life on earth, starting at salvation to the point of physical death or the rapture. What did you do with the tremendous grace provisions provided for you by our God? So the purpose of the judgment seat of Christ is the evaluation of each believer's life on this earth, starting at salvation, faith in Christ, to the point of physical death or the rapture. Now point five. Point five is the application of this doctrine of the judgment seat of Christ. And the application is for you to have, it ought to motivate you to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. It ought to motivate you to have personal love for God the Father, the great motivating virtue, which will motivate you to have the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all mankind. And when you have impersonal love for all mankind, well, I don't know, we all have different areas of weakness. Those areas of weakness vary from people to people. Some people have overt sins as their area of weakness. Other people have mental attitude sins. The sins of the tongue is their area of weakness. But whatever your area of weakness is, your sin nature, when you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, there is one category of sin that you will no longer have in your life and in your soul, and that is you will stop all judging, slandering, maligning others. Virtue, love never slanders, maligns, judges others. Impersonal love for all is honor, virtue, integrity for all. And why don't you do that? Because, well, we'll get to the passage here. Because you are going to be evaluated by Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. So he says, stop your judging. Because you're going to be judged. You're going to be evaluated by Jesus Christ himself. And he has all the facts. So the application of the judgment seat of Christ is for you to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And that motivational virtue of personal love for the Father will motivate you to have functional virtue, impersonal love for all. Turn over to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We'll start at verse 10. Romans 14, verse 10. You then. You say, who, me? Yes, you. You then, why do you judge your brother? Sins of the tongue, judging. What did we study in Proverbs 6, 16 to 19? What are the sins that are the Lord hates and is an abomination to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, six of the seven our mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. There's only one overt sin mentioned there, and that's murder. All the rest are mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? And now he says, why? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. We're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we will be evaluated by him. And if that characterizes your life, you have no virtue, love, pleasing your heart. You have no spiritual life. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. So I don't care who you are as a believer. You grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, then there will be grace orientation manifested. You'll have grace function manifested. You'll have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And you'll have impersonal love for all. And that means you shut out all sins of the tongue. And it always starts mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue. When it gets to the point of sins of the tongue, it's because you've had mental attitude sin for a long time. But now those are expressing himself in sins of the tongue. But notice the application of the judgment seat of Christ is stop judging others because you are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be evaluated. This is powerful. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop judging one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. Well, you see, here's the application. The application of the judgment seat of Christ is virtue. And from our and in our Thursday night class, we're in the greatest book that teaches virtue love, defines virtue love, defines it as personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all and occupation with Christ. That's our Thursday night class. That's why we're here, in the short time while we are here. So, subpoint one, every believer is a royal priest and represents himself before God. You see, as a royal priest, you are to live your life as unto the Lord. Well, the Lord made it very clear. Stop your judging. Stop judging other believers. Stop judging others. You are, as a royal priest, live your life as unto the Lord. You're going to stand before the Lord. Two, when you become a spiritually mature believer, well, you will stop your sins of the tongue. And if you stop your sins of the tongue, you'll stop your mental attitude sins, because they're what motivate you. First come mental attitude sins, and then that motivates sins of the tongue. When you become a spiritually mature believer, you'll stop your sins of the tongue. You'll stop interfering in and tampering with the lives of others. When you judge others, you have no spiritual life. You might think you're a great believer, but you are not a great believer. You have no spiritual life. You have no virtue love. The fruit of the Spirit is judging, slandering, maligning others. Galatians 5:45. No, it's not the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love. That's virtue love. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit when you're living the spiritual life. When you're living in the cosmic system, you judge, slander, malign, you're arrogant, you get angry, hatred, you hate others, and you hate because you hate them, you judge them and slander them and malign them. Three, each one of us must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, before the Lord Jesus Christ, alone. Just as we have to learn how to live our own lives and how to die alone, nobody can die for you. You die alone. And the winner believer dies magnificently. The winner believer dies magnificently. Doesn't mean he won't have pain. There's pain when in those winner believers that die and die in grace, and there's pain with loser believers, that pain has nothing to do with it. The winner believer has occupation with Jesus Christ. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The winner believer knows that in one hand, Jesus Christ is holding one hand, the other hand, God the Father is holding the other hand. And when he's looking forward to them to bring him home, bring him home. The winner believer has that peace which transcends all human understanding, inner peace. And therefore, he is looking forward, as, and just as our passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10 teaches, not afraid of death. He's not suicidal, but he's not afraid of death. We have a living phase of our life. We have a dying phase of our life. The winner believer glorifies God in the living phase, and then he glorifies God in the dying phase. And that's magnificent. That's fantastic. So just as we have to learn how to live our own lives and how to die alone, so we will stand alone in our resurrection body before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account of ourselves to him. For, therefore, you have no right to judge others. That prerogative belongs to Jesus Christ. You have no right to judge others. That prerogative belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, he's God. He has all the facts. Here's a big point. You're not God. So you don't have all the facts. Our only concern should be our own priesthood, living our life as unto the Lord, rather than judging, slandering, maligning others. When you regard others with contempt, it indicates a lack of virtue love and the fact that you have not attained spiritual maturity. 5. You are responsible for your own decisions. Ignorance is no excuse before the judgment seat of Christ. You're responsible for your own decisions. Ignorance is no excuse before the judgment seat of Christ. The only way you can avoid judging other believers is by having virtue love brought to completion in your heart and loving them with impersonal love for all. With honor, with virtue, with tolerance, with self-control. 6. We must all give an account for our own thoughts and actions and decisions. And we cannot blame anyone else at the judgment seat of Christ. We cannot blame anyone else at the judgment seat of Christ. What good does it do for you to be full of self-righteousness and moral degeneracy and judge other people when you yourself will be judged for it by Jesus Christ himself at his judgment seat? 7. In Romans 14, verse 13, The obstacle that you place in front of other believers is judging or maligning them, trying to make them feel guilty. You know, this is the old playing spiritual king of the mountain. I'm great. I'm a lot greater than that believer. Well, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you're supposed to go around pointing fingers. You're not to go around and place obstacles in front of other believers by judging them, maligning them, trying to make them feel guilty, or seeking revenge. 8. So how can you avoid becoming a stumbling block to other believers? By growing up in the grace orientation and doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and have virtue love brought to completion in our heart. How can you avoid becoming a stumbling block to other believers? By simply growing up in grace orientation and doctrinal orientation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and having virtue love brought to completion in our hearts. Then, the great motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father will motivate us to have the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. And the sooner you get to spiritual maturity and have virtue love brought to completion in your hearts, the better. For then you will overcome this judging, maligning, slandering, and being a stumbling block to others. Turn over to James 2, not only Romans 14, 10 to 13, but turn over to James Chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 12. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. This is judgment at the judgment seat of Christ, because judgment by the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful, who has not lived the spiritual life, who has not developed grace orientation and virtue love, because mercy, grace orientation and virtue love triumphs over judgment. James 2, 12 and 13. Point 6. Winner believers will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Revelation 22, verse 12. Revelation 22, 12 says, "Behold, I am coming soon." That's the imminency of the rapture. "And my reward is with me to decorate each winner believer according to what he has done." Revelation 22, verse 12. Winners will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. 7. Winners will have confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. So first of all, point 7, winners will have confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. When we get to point 8, losers will be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. But first of all, point 7, winners will have confidence at the judgment seat of Christ. Turn over to 1 John 3:21. 1 John 3:21. And remember, confidence at the judgment seat of Christ, that is the mental attitude of every winner believer at the judgment seat of Christ. Great, great confidence. Beloved, if our heart, 1 John 3:21, if our heart do not condemn us as a result of living the spiritual life, then we keep on having confidence before God, before the Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Turn over to 1 John 4, verse 17. 1 John 4, 17. By this, living the spiritual life, virtue, love has been brought to completion in our hearts, for the purpose that we might have confidence in the day of evaluation, the judgment seat of Christ. Because just as He is, the Lord Jesus Christ, living the spiritual life, so also we, the winner believers, are like Him, living the spiritual life in this world. Consistently and faithfully living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advancing to spiritual maturity, having virtue, love brought to completion in our heart, results in confidence. Confidence before our Lord as you stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. However, point eight, loser believers are ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. They will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ with great shame and a soul full of regrets. But we're going to... There are five passages that describe shame of the loser believer at the judgment seat of Christ. And I haven't got time in the next minute to give you all those. So we'll start here next time. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. And we thank You for the phenomenal grace plan You have for each one of our lives. We thank You for the gift of the unique spiritual life of the church age. And we thank You for Your power, the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Word of God to live this spiritual life. And, sir, we look forward. We look forward to standing before our Lord Jesus Christ with confidence, because we fulfilled that plan, will, and purpose You have for our life. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.